Well, I'd appreciate your prayers. I'd like to look at the 134th Psalm. You know, we come to services like this for a number of reasons. We come to benefit our souls.
Yes.
We want to be more enlightened. We want to have better understanding. We want to be encouraged and inspired to be able to face the world that's around us, be able to face the oncoming battles. We come to get strength, I think. I believe that we may come out of duty, but that's not a bad thing as long as we come out of duty to come for the right thing.
Yes.
There is duty involved, but we come for inspiration and those things. I think that's why we come, for our own souls. We also come for a hope. We come to benefit one another. I think we come to that we might gain from one another's experience. When the Lord does something for you, He does it for me.
Yes.
As long as you're willing to share that experience. Most of the time I find that people's testimony is not new to me. It just builds on what the Lord's doing for me. A lot of times when, or I say most all the time, when the Lord does something and somebody testifies about it, I've got an experience like it that reminds me of, or that I can feed off of that, and it builds on mine. I can have an experience that I say, that's the Lord, and then you come along and you witness to it. You witness to my experience and me to you. So I think we also come to services like this to be able to share with one another. I think we come for the fellowship.
Yes.
That we have. If I was only meeting the Lord, I could meet the Lord by myself. But we come to fellowship each other's spirit, one to another. But there's also another reason that maybe goes unthought of sometimes. But the 134th Psalm brings it out. So I'd like to look at it a little bit and kind of dissect this scripture. It's only three verses long. Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. The Lord that made heaven and earth, bless thee, out of Zion. So it starts off and says, behold, an attention gatherer, behold, bless ye the Lord. Have you ever thought about blessing the Lord? That's one of the reasons to come to a service like this.
Yes.
It's for me, it's for you, and there's a third party. Without the third party involved in this, it isn't any more than a social event. It's any more than a picnic. We can get a picnic. We can have a ball game. We can have refreshments and sit around and enjoy one another's company as fellowship. And that's all that it'll ever be. Unless the third party's involved. And to a worship service, this is what I would say probably the main thing.
Yes, it is.
It really is the main thing to come to a service like this for. We come together, but the scripture says, behold, bless ye the Lord.
Yes.
Now, that word bless there, the idea of this is simply to speak well of His name, to mention Him, to make God the focus. You know, God is He's a good Father. And I think it is pleasing to the Father that His children, for one thing, they get along. I know at my house, I mean, I have several children. It's a blessing to me when they get along.
Yes.
You want to bless the Lord? You want to bless the father? Get along as his children. Blesses the Lord. He's a good father. And I think a good father wants to give us things. So I think it's pleasing to the Lord when we come to the service and say, Lord, I'm just a child that needs a father. I need help, Lord. Lord wants us to come humbly as a child that's in need. He likes to see us coming to the source of God. He wants us, He don't want His children looking to other ways, to other things to get. He wants good children. Yes. To come to the source, to come to their father. It blesses the Lord that we do that. It blesses us. But when we come to service and it is pleasing to the Lord that we do it, we should do it. But if we only come to a service like this to say, I have needs and I want you to meet them. You know, that's really only half of what it's about. And when we get burdened a lot, I have burdens, Lord. I need you to take care of my burdens. I need you to heal my body. I need you to strengthen my... All those are things that God wants to be in that role. He wants to do that. But you know, God is there accepting the love relationship. Yes. He wants the love relationship. So God wants us to be a part of the love relationship. And the main thing that is involved in any love relationship is that you want to please the object of your love.
Yes.
You want to please the object of your love. So the idea of first of all comes along and says, bless ye the Lord. Lift up God. Speak well of God. Acknowledge who He is. Is a part of the fulfillment that we get, because there is a fulfillment when we do what we're supposed to do. And there's a fulfillment when we do have this. God is doing His part. Guarantee you, He'll do His part. But there is a part that we're supposed to do too. And that is, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. That's where we come. I'm going to say, again, it isn't symbolic here. There are symbols in it that goes along with it. There's things that we do. But it's more than just the symbolic part of it. It's the actuality of it.
Right.
Well, what I'm saying is that you can come and we can write down a list here and nobody gets out the door until the box checked where you've done these certain things. How about that? You want a worship service where we do everything. That's what we can do. When we can put a box and check the box. You didn't do that. Well, check it and then you can get out when you go. No, that's not what the Lord's interested in. But the Lord is interested in what we really have in our heart.
Yes.
Really. Well, and it's a lot of times, it's not that it's not there. It's not the focus of it. It's not, we need to have it as a focus of this. That this is about God.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen.
It's about God. You know, when I, years ago when I first started the church, it wasn't here. It was over at a little church in Webster. And I always say this because I don't want it to sound like there's anything there that there shouldn't be, because there's not. I love the people there. I still am friendly with the people there. I still, if I would see a lot of them today, we would be very, there was always friendship. So I'm not saying in any of that. But there was something about their worship service that always, from the time I went before I was saved, there was something that grated on me. And that is that they would come to service and give it so little honor. And even before I was saved, I had this idea that God is, there was this respect, this honor, that this, when I deal with God, yeah, I was a sinner and I was a heathen. But when it comes to the idea of God, I was, it's God. It's God. I didn't want to say Jesus' name in the wrong way, because that was Jesus. That's God. And I'd seen at times that they would come in. I'd seen this a lot of times. And I would sit and try to listen to the service and be a part of the service. Even before I was saved, I thought this is God I'm dealing with. There was a fear of God on me over it.
Amen.
This is God. And a lot of those people would come in and they would they would fellowship, they would talk to one another in the seats, like, they do, and I'm really thankful that we don't do that, because if we did, it'd really grate on me here. But they any time during the service, you could hear a couple women back here talking about recipes. Yeah, I got a good recipe. And then over here, somebody would be saying, well, what are you going to do tomorrow? Well, I think I'm going to go to town tomorrow. And they would be talking the whole time, and I'd be like, and the preacher would be trying to pray, and this, and they'd be doing that, and then when the service would end, they would stop talking and leave. Stop talking. I was, what is this? Bless ye the Lord. You know, to give, to say, this is about, in my heart and mind, that's what I'm talking about. There's no list of rules here. But I want to encourage us that there is so much more to get out of it.
Yes.
I was at home one, I think it was a Sunday morning, and I remember thinking, well, I'm going to service. It's several years ago. Well, I'm going to service, and the Lord spoke so plainly to me. If you're going to be so devoted about going to service, why don't you do it right?
Okay.
You're going to give your hours. You're going to give it because you're going to go. And then why don't you do it right? Why don't you give to it? Why don't you put your heart into it if you're going to do it? Why not do it with all your heart? Why not put it all into it if you're going to do it? Bless ye the Lord. Bless ye the Lord. Put your heart into it. Give what you got to give. Put your heart into it. The Lord is the one that's going to be blessed by it. He's the one that's being blessed. To give, this literally means to speak well of His name. To give Him glory. To honor Him. To say, our God is good. Our God is great.
Yes.
Our God is a loving God. Our God is a merciful God. Our God is a God of power and strength. Our God is a God that doesn't fail. Our God works in our lives. Our God is the God of the universe. He created everything. What can you say? You'll run out trying.
That's right.
What does God own? He owns it all. It's His air. It's His water. And God is the strength and the energy that makes the world turn. Yes, it is. The solar system runs because it's God that runs the solar system. And how does it run? Perfectly. That's because it says who God is. The whole firmament and everything speaks of the glory of God because it runs perfectly. And God is a perfect God.
Yes.
And now we're saying, I want to bless the Lord. Lord, you're good.
Yes.
Lord, you're great. You're mighty. You're our God. You're the God of salvation. God didn't have to save us. We were lost and undone, and God came and saved us. We bless the Lord.
Praise God.
Oh, it says, behold, bless the Lord, all you servants. Now here's the setting. This psalm is talking about the sanctuary. It's talking about the Old Testament temple, tabernacle, if you will, what time it was. But this was the place where God's at. And this, the system of this was, is that there is a daytime. There is a function. Do you know that this system run all the time? It was to run continually. And during the days, they had their functions. This says, all ye servants of the Lord, bless the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. So there was the function, of the day. And then there was these servants that were required. They were servants that actually were in the house of the Lord. You remember Anna? Anna was one that served the Lord continually with prayer and fasting day and night. Day and night. She was one that was in the temple. She was there day and night ministering to the Lord. This was talking about those that were in the temple and in the night. And their duties, they had a number of duties. The fire of the altar was to never go out. They had a fire burning. They had lamps there and candles. And those fires was to continually be kept up. They were to burn, and they had meanings to them. These servants of the temple were there to keep people from profane. You know, in the temple, they sanctified the vessels. And the vessels that were there were sanctified, which means they were set apart. There was no fleshly purpose to this. It's all in type. God wasn't really interested in golden vessels or vessels of clay or what. He was interested in these vessels.
Yes.
And there was a type involved in there. And so these servants were there at night in the solemnness of night. Night's different than day. We know night's different than day, isn't it? In the whole setting of the... It's all different. Our mentality's different. Our ways... Night's a different thing than the day. Day is bright. Day is... It sees what's going. Night... But when the duties of the day is gone, and now night is coming upon you, there's a whole different sense of things at night. That's all you that serve the Lord at night. There's such dear. They were there to keep these things from being profaned. They guarded them. These aren't to be used. You know, they aren't to be used for fleshly purposes. You wasn't supposed to just get one haphazardly, pull you some wine. I think I'll sit down with a sandwich and a glass of wine. Oh, it's just a vessel, right? No. These were set apart.
Yes.
It was only to be used for the service of the Lord. You know, those vessels are us.
Yes.
They're us. We're supposed to guard the vessels. We're supposed to guard the vessels that we... And they're not to be used for just worldly purposes. These vessels, these are temples of the Lord. If you're going to do it, and you're going to spend your life doing it, if you're going to live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. If you're going to have a claim of religious, a claim of God in your life, a claim of it then prove it by walking that way. Apply it to your life. Our lives aren't to be used for unholy, unrighteous purposes. They're to be used for godly purposes. And the servants of the Lord that bless the Lord stay there at night, making sure that nobody profanes the vessels that was a type, going to be a type of us. They also would keep the riches of the temple. There was a lot of riches of the temple. They were there to protect them against plunder. That somebody would just come in and plunder it and take it away. We ought to guard all the time the valuable things of the Lord. I say it this way, it's a blessing to the Lord when you and I care enough about something that we'll do something about it.
Amen.
Do you know what I'm saying? I care, Lord. I care about something. Care enough to get a burden under a burden note. I care about something. I try to be apolitical, but I'm very political at times. I get because I care about the country. I care about the environment around. I care about what's going on. I care about holy things. I don't want to see the Ten Commandments come down because it's valuable for people to read it. I don't want to see prayer leave school. I don't want to see it because it's valuable to pray. I don't want to see marriage just treated like it's on anything. I don't want it. I care about it.
Amen.
Okay, I care about it. I know people that seem to care about things that don't know and understand what really they're doing. When you have the wrong people in power under our system, governors appoint judges.
Yeah.
Do you know that the judges that are appointed are state judges? The sit on the courts, many of them are appointed by the governors. Do you know that all of the federal judges, not just Supreme Court judges, but federal judges are appointees of the president?
Yes.
The president and what he thinks about things and who he appoints will affect our life. I care. I'll have to admit. I care. I don't want bad things to happen. And when we have enough desire to care, and that's what the Lord looking down on our lives say, do you care enough as the people of God, as my people, as who I am, and who I represent to you? I am God. And I change not. I'm a holy God. Do you care about holiness? I say this. Never ever in a fleshly or carnal way. But when we look and see ungodliness affecting the temple, or about to affect the temple, You know, God wants to be blessed by our caring.
Yes.
You bless the Lord. Now, how do we care? Or how do we, what's the response of caring? Caring may be that I bring the attention to others. Maybe. It may be that I bring it to the offender's attention. I don't know. But caring always has an action involved in it. And I know some things that always is caring is when I take it to the Lord in prayer. Yeah. When I labor in prayer, when I care enough to say, I'm going to stand. You may go that way. The world may go that way. Everybody else may go that way. But I'm not going that way. I'm not going to do it. There was a discussion some years ago. A minister's meeting, if you will. That the idea of a television had come up, and whether it was appropriate for ministers to have TVs in their hall, and that was a discussion. And I remember they told me they're going to have a vote. Excuse my. They said they're going to have a vote on it. When I heard they was going to have a vote on it, I said, I don't care what they vote. You can vote on anything you want to. You can't change the truth or the convictions. You can't change anything by... I found it funny that it thought it was a democracy. This ain't a democracy, folks. This is about the will of God. And your convictions. If you don't have one, all the votes ain't going to change it. If you don't care, it ain't going to change it. All those things. I'm sorry, it was just a little comical in the way my brain works. To have some kind of consensus on us, and I don't care what they vote. I live the way I live because I feel like it's the way God wants me to live, and your vote don't change me. I'm not going to go, oh, well, they voted on it, now I'm free to do what? It's not the way we live our lives. We live our lives to bless the Lord.
Yes.
You know, our whole purpose and really ought to be that, I mean, it's the whole duty of man to fear God and keep His commandments. It's all fear of God. It's the whole duty of man to want to bless the Lord. Our love for God demands that we want to bless the Lord. Lord, I love You means I want to do what's pleasing to You. In my life, it's what I want to do. I want to suggest this to God. Lord, I love You. Now the night's coming. Now, I'm a servant of the Lord. The night's coming. Listen, in the night is when somebody's going to rob the temple. It's in darkness when people, when these trials and these things come. It is. The darker it comes, the more, in the darkness is where the old thief is going to try to come, and he's going to try to profane the vessels, and he's going to try, there was a story of a guy. He was a criminal, and he had some strange, what they called MO. Modus operandi, or method of operation. They had the same one. This guy's method of operation was the same. He would case a place until they left. He would watch a place till they left. When the people would leave, he would go into the house and he would burglar the house. He'd get all their valuables that he could and stuff. And then when he got through doing that, this was his method. He did it everywhere he went. Then he would stop. He'd go into the refrigerator. He'd get the stuff out, make him a sandwich. He would always get him something to eat, sit down at their kitchen table, get him a glass of milk or whatever. He's sitting there, he's up. And then he would do other things that wasn't so pleasant. But he would leave a calling card there before you leave. That's what he would do. His method of the way he'd done things. You know, Lord, help us in all of this. We're not criminal. But we're supposed to have a method. It's always in the night times that they done these things. These criminals would do it where they couldn't do these things. It's what it's going to do. There's going to come back, and this guy would come in and defile the place. This man, the devil's going to come in and defile the place. And that's when he's going to do it. So there's now we're dealing with a night time in this scripture, in this Psalms. Which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Night is a kind of a analogy for trials, temptations, problems, the nighttime, things happen in the night. Let me read you a scripture in Ecclesiastes, 7th verse, or 7th chapter, 14th verse. It says, in the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider. God also has set the one over against the other, to the end that man should find nothing after him. You know, that's an amazing scripture to me. And it's an amazing true scripture for my life. In the day of prosperity, rejoice. And why not? Isn't it kind of natural? Things are going well. Prosperity is coming. I've got plenty. My fields have brought forth plenty. Got plenty of food. I'm rich. I'm valuable. In the day of prosperity, he says, rejoice. And why not rejoice? But in the day of adversity, consider. Consider. Consider what? Consider who I am. Consider what I am. Allow the day of adversity, or if I want to say this, the night of adversity, to bring the seriousness to our lives that we need. God is a faithful God. He's a good Father. And when children start responding in a way that they shouldn't respond, He'll tap them. He'll tap them. It will get their attention. Now, the Lord don't do it. The Lord does it in this way, with adversity. I would rather that the Lord go ahead and do that than let me go astray.
Yes, amen.
Thank you, Lord. Yes. Thank you for that. And yet, listen to what it says. He set one against the other. And surely, it's true in life. I think I can look at several of you here knowing your life and say, is that not true? Prosperity, adversity. Now, this week's been prosperous. Last week was adversity. Now, is this week going to be prosperity or adversity? I don't know. That no man would know which. God set one against the others. And as dominoes kind of fall against one another and fall, you don't know what the next fall will be. Will it be prosperity or will it be adversity? I never know in life what's going to be next. Is the next thing I have to face, is it going to be a sickness? Is it going to be an illness in my own body or the body of those I love? Is it going to be an accident? Is it going to be catastrophe? Is it going to be, what is it going to hold? What's tomorrow going to hold? Can you tell me it's going to be prosperous or adversity? Which one will it be? We don't know, but we do know this. It's God that set one over the other. It's God. I take such courage in knowing that God takes credit for setting one into the other. Because in our lives, folks, you need whatever God brings. You need the prosperity for encouragement. You need the adversity to consider. Without them, you won't be what you should be. Through all of this, you know what our goal is? And Lord, help us to be faithful to do it. Bless you, the Lord.
Amen.
Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Oh, if we get our hearts into a place that we allow the circumstances of life, either prosperity, thank the Lord for it, not thank anything else, thank the Lord for it. In the day of adversity, thank the Lord for it.
Yes.
Bless the Lord. And those that would look on from the world would say they're crazy. Me and a companion in a job one time was going down a hill. And I had a few things in my hand and I tripped over a stick and went crashing down through a bunch of rocks. We were rolling down this steep hill. And when I landed at the bottom of it, I said... The only thing that was left to say was, well, thank the Lord. And he looked at me and said, thank the Lord for that? I mean, he really was like, thank the Lord? You got to be kidding. He was serious. You got to be kidding. Thank the Lord? And I just said, well, I didn't break anything. I'm still alive. There's a lot to be thankful for. Besides the Lord, the Bible says, in all things give thanks. And this is an all thing. This is something new. It don't make sense to the world. But bless you, the Lord. You know, I can't help from thinking that God, if you want to look at it in our human terms, I can't help from thinking sometimes that God smiles when a child says, thank the Lord anyway.
Yes.
Lord, thank you for that. Can you imagine what it would be like to have to discipline your child and then them come back to you and say, Mom, Dad, thanks. Thanks for stopping me from doing something that was going to be bad for me. Thank you for that discipline you had. I think that would have to touch you, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that have to get you to you'd say, yeah, Lord, help me to do it right. I'm fallible. And I know my children know I'm fallible. I know not everything right. But God does everything right. And yeah, I couldn't help but be pleasing Him. Say, well, thank the Lord. Bless ye the Lord. And through the night, through the times when hard times and difficult times come, bless the Lord. All right. Second verse. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Now, if you want to look at it the way the English seems to be saying it, it is that lifting up your hands in the sanctuary blesses the Lord. That's the way they're doing the Lord. But what does it mean to lift up your hands? I say in service and seen it many times, done it many times myself, song be sung or preaching or whatever, and something that I agree with, I'll say, and that is saying without words, what this is saying is amen. Which is, so be it. Let it be so. I'm in agreement with that. Yes, that song says God is merciful. Yes, that's it. One of the songs always touches me. What is it? Take the world for Christ is mine. Well, about every time I hear that song, number 44, Adoration. Take the world for Christ is mine. That verse, third verse of that. About every time when take the world, that's mine. That's mine. That's the way I always felt about the world. You can have it. Christ is mine. It's mine. I agree with that. There's a little bit of different meaning in this, or at least along with this meaning. The idea was an idea, my understanding of it is that this was an ancient custom. And it not only was a Jewish custom, it was a heathen worship custom. It was a custom among people. That this was a sense of worship. Lifting up your hands was a sense of worship in a sense that it was saying, I'm giving my heart, you feel it. I mean, if you don't want to do it right now, don't do it. But if you want, think in your mind of the expression of enlarging. Lord, I'm giving myself to you. My heart. My heart's going to you, Lord. I'm reaching to you. Lord, this is what he's meaning. Now, I say symbols are okay. And it encourages if you see something. That would maybe be contagious even. Lord, I'm doing this. I'm not going against the specifics of it. But let's put that checkbox here. Nobody gets out until you do it. Now how about this? This is what he's meaning. He's wanting your heart to reach to God. Whether your hands do or not, the hands is a response of what the heart's doing. Reach with your heart. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Lift up your hands, meaning open your heart. Open your heart. We come to service. We're going to come. Listen, I want you to be encouraged. If you're going to come down here at 9:30 every Sunday morning and be here until 12 or a little after 12 a day, why not get everything out of it?
Yeah.
You're here anyway. You know, I regret so much. I went to school. I did. I went all the way and graduated high school. And was pathetic. You want to look at a pathetic graduate? This was a pathetic graduate. I graduated high school and I went to school and tried to do everything I could to keep from learning. I went to school without any. My mom and dad wanted all of us to graduate, so we all did. That was the standard they set. Graduate. Didn't say how. Graduate. I graduated. There were so many things that school offered that I went through school, trying to slip around everything I could, get around everything I could, do everything I could to keep from doing something. And I did it, and I made it. And at the end of it, I look back and think of all the years that I could have learned. They had a great welding, 2-year, 3-year welding course over there that you could be certified welder when you got through. And it wasn't for me. I went to home ec 2 years, played around in there. Honestly, they had a great carpenter. They had a great carpentry block classes to where you went for years and done carpentry and increased in car. They had auto mechanics. They had all these vocational. They had a great school. I'll say it was great. That, you know what I done? Nothing. Nothing. Didn't do anything. I spent 4 years at Webster County High School. Hardly missed a day. Very few days. Went there all that time. I never got nothing out of it. Or very little. Come down at the end and my senior year, and they tried to find a class for me. Couldn't hardly find a class for me. I didn't need the class, but they insisted I had one because I was there. And so finally, it would come down to two classes, and the one of them, the best of the two, was typing. Typing? I have typing. I'm not going to type. Who would ever need to type in this life? Nobody would ever. You will never need to know how to type. Never. I said, I'm not going to learn to type. And I had to go into typing, and it was the only class that I failed. I failed it purposely. FGFGFGFG. I could do FGFGFG. I could get real. After it got out by FGFGFG, never did anything. I couldn't type. Still can't type. When I got out of school, wasn't long, was in surveying, wasn't long till guess what was sitting before me? A keyboard. I was FGF. I wasn't figuring it. All I ever, folks, I'm making a point. Yeah. We come. He's saying you're coming. Give it to me. Give it. Bless the Lord. Amen. With your heart, is God worthy of it? We give our attentions to so many things we do, don't we? We have to give our attentions to accomplish things. We have to give our focus, our mind. We give it to what we, not only what we work, but what we enjoy. We give great amounts of time with full vigor and full energy to give it to it to accomplish it. Listen, I love gardening. And I am enthused this year because I got a spot back there. Beverly's going to plow for me. We're going to, and all the family's inspired. We're there. We give our, to the garden. In a sense, we're giving our attention to it. We want to do it. It's something to do it. And the Lord is saying, bless you, the Lord. You know, you can bless the Lord even with that gardening. It's God that makes it grow. God can be a part of it. But what I'm saying is, we do this, we do it, and this scripture is saying, lift up your hands. And the meaning of that is, reach out your heart to God. You know, honestly, we can be distracted. But honestly, we ought to come to service with the mind, I've come to bless the Lord.
Yes.
I've come to bless the Lord. It is impossible. Oh, I'm thinking of a scripture. It's in Timothy. I know Paul wrote it to Timothy, but I'm not sure where it was at. But you know the scripture. He says, lift up holy hands. This doesn't say holy hands, but the thought, there is a thought in there. You can't bless the Lord with defiled hands. You can't bless the Lord with sinful life. You can't bless the Lord. What you give the Lord needs to be sanctified. It needs to be cleaned. Lord, I come here as a child of God, thankful for the great plan of salvation and what you've done for my life. And I am opening up my heart to you to receive of your word, Lord, however you send it. But I'm singing the songs. I'm opening my heart to you. When I sing, we can sing these songs, but you can't. You can sing them without meaning them. You can sing them without hearing them. You can sing them without paying attention to them. Or you can sing them, and as you sing them, you open it. We all ain't going to stand doing this, but this is the expression. Lord, I'm singing to you. And when you do that, it don't have to sound that good. Now, if you side me, I want it to sound good. But it sounds good to God when it's of a full intention and a holy heart and a devoted, somebody that loves God. That sounds good to God, no matter what it sounds like to our natural ears. That's what God is accepting. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. The Lord that made heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion. Zion is a type of the church. And this sets this in the mindset that I've always had it in my mind anyway, before I ever read it. Maker of heaven and earth. What's that say to you? Doesn't that suggest something so much bigger than we are? Doesn't that suggest supreme, almighty? It suggests that we owe it. We suggest that we ought to want it. Maker of heaven and earth. We aren't makers of heaven and earth. We're not makers of anything. Unless we make trouble. We don't make anything. God is maker of heaven and earth. Of all that we have, it's God. He's supreme. We ought to worship Him in the Spirit and truth. Yes. We ought to worship Him out of our hearts, a heart given to God. Bless the Lord. Bless Him. We bless Him by living right. Taking advantage of the great salvation that He's brought to us, we bless Him. We put value. And I don't want to belabor this, but I'll make one more point. When the children of Israel came to the banks of Jordan, they went and espied the land. They come back. And the Lord's mind was is that they despised the land. That sounds like they had a hateful feeling towards it. No, they didn't. They devalued it. This is the promise of God. Where God said, this is yours. I'm giving you this. Esau did the same thing with the birthright. He despised his birthright. Esau shouldn't have despised his birthright. He should have held on to it. Unless he died, he should have had it. It should have been more valuable than anything because it's God. That land was God's given land to them. They should have went and got it at any cost. But they had a bad heart. Both of them had bad hearts. Bless ye the Lord. It's putting value on God. We so devalue God when we become indifferent about the service. We're so indifferent. We so despise the things of God when we can let them go without a fight. When we can go without, I say fight, I'm not talking carnal. I'm talking about a fight in the spirit if I have to. I fight it. I so devalue God and God's cause and God's purpose and God's salvation. When I don't fight for it through prayer and give it to Him, I devalue it. It's not worth having. Is our children so easily given off or given away that we don't fight for their souls? Do we devalue the community around us? God's cause in it so much that we allow it to go without prayer, without living right? You don't think about it, probably, but every time you show yourself in public as a saint of God, you're proclaiming God. You're proclaiming Him. Every time we do what we proclaim God, He says, bless the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. Bless Him in our lives. We bless Him by our actions. We bless Him by our words. We bless Him by our conduct. We bless Him when we give ourselves to Him as dear children. It's folks, this is the center of public worship. But it isn't just here that we do this. We're to reach our hearts to God. Bless the Lord. Because see, the church, Zion in the New Testament takes on, if you want to get into the sectarian way of viewing it, it'd be this chapel building. Or a movement in general, maybe. But the representation of the church is us. It's us. You'll take it home with you when you go. If it's here right now, you brought it. And when you leave, you'll take it with you. And it's out of that Zion. It's out of that heart that we're to bless the Lord. I want to encourage you. I feel like times that I have this vision of what a desire of what we want it to be. I say what it should be. What the idealistic view of it may be. We look and say, there is more. I'm not putting me, but I'm saying, there is more. Lord, help us reach for a little bit more.
Amen.
Lord, help us that we be inspired, encouraged. And I think a main part of that is that we put it in our proper perspective. Our duty is to bless the Lord. Let's bless the Lord with our lives. You pray for me.